Our scripture this morning is taken from John chapter 15, the Gospel of John. Be reading from beginning with verse 9 through 17. The cross and Christ's friendship. Verse 9. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one will lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves or servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made it known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name. So that's one of the places of scriptures that we get, that when we pray in Jesus' name to the Heavenly Father. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. This I command you, that you love one another. During the days that Thomas Jefferson was president, he and his companions, those who served with him, would travel across country to various places to meet with other officials and people of importance. And this one particular day, President Thomas Jefferson was traveling with his companions, and they came to this river, and it had rained so much that the water was over the banks and it had washed away the bridge. Well, the only way they could get across was to get back on their horse and cross that way. So they one by one crossed the river. Of course, they was in danger of being washed downstream on their horse. But one by one, as they rode across on their horse and fought the rapid streams, they all made it safely. President Thomas Jefferson was the last one to cross. And there standing beside him was another man who had been watching all of this. He was not with them at all. But he too was going to cross the bridge, but because the bridge was out, he was on foot. So he asked President Thomas Jefferson if he could ride with him. And of course, without any hesitation, President Johnson said, "Climb aboard." And they too treaded the deep stream and made it across. He slid off the back of the horse, and one of Jefferson's companions said, "Why did you choose to ride with the president?" And the man said, well, he was shocked. He said, "I didn't know he was a president." He said, "All I was doing was looking at the faces. Some of the faces I looked at said no. And some of the faces said yes, and his was a yes face. And he looked like a dear friend to me." Well, you know, when we think about what the scripture just said. Jesus calls us friends. You know, the cross created a situation where the Son of God would call us His friends. And how could that be? How could that be? Many things in this world could cause us to wonder. But one of the most striking is that God should call us His friends. That's what He called the disciples. No longer do you, I call you my slaves, which translated in the Greek, in the form of what how it is given here, is servants. He says, because now you are a part of my kingdom. You are a part of what we have come here to establish. And now I have given you a great command to love me, to love one another, and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with everyone. In John chapter 15, we just read in verse 14 and 15, says, you are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what the master is doing. So Jesus said, you know what I'm doing now. You know why I've come. I've shared this with you. And then in verse 15, it says, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made it known to you. So friends, you think about the word friends. And how many, could you count all your friends on your fingers? You might shake your head, no. But how many friends will stick with you through thick and thin? You know, those are your true friends. And some of those that calls herself your friends sometimes just comes acquaintances. But Jesus said, I call you my friends. Friends. That Jesus would call us friends somehow defiles imagination. One of the primary reasons that would be difficult to imagine is because of what we find in Romans 5, 6 through 8, which says, for while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. See, at the right time, Jesus came into this world. He grew up. He went to the cross, and He died for the ungodly. And then verse 7 says, for one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would never die. In verse 8, but God demonstrates His own love towards us. See, He demonstrated His love towards us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. And Ephesians tells us that we were His enemies. Paul says, at one time, we were God's enemies. And yet, the Bible says, is the most compelling scripture, is John 3:16 tells us, for God so, what? Why did God so love? He loved the world. That's right. That's you and me. So first of all, the cross is a high symbol of friendship. Going back to the first three verses of this chapter 15, this is a precious chapter, one of the most precious chapters we can read, confirming that Jesus is the vine and we are the branches, and the Heavenly Father is the vine dresser. But in verse 1 it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does not bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. And in verse 13, greater love has no one than he that lays down his life for his friend. So, as we think about entering into this season of pre-Easter, the symbol of the cross is so important to our relationship that God even used it for marriage. And you think about that. It's a bond. It's a oneness. When man and woman becomes united in marriage, they become one. When we are accepted into God's kingdom, we become a part of the kingdom of God. We become one. And that's why in Ephesians or Galatians, and when you read the epistles of Paul, he said we are one body. We were one spirit. We are one Lord, one faith, one hope. See, we're one in Jesus Christ. And in Ephesians 5:25, I say that the symbol of the cross is so important to our relationship that God even used it in marriage. And Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, husbands, to do what's a husband supposed to do? Love your wives. Love your wives. Just as Christ loved the church, and he did what? Gave himself for her. How many of you husbands raise your hand and say, I would give my life for my wife? Amen. We would. That's true love. And that's why Christ gave his life for every one of us. He gave it for the church. And that's what verse 25 of Ephesians 5, there is no greater love than we can show to one another than to sacrifice our life for someone. And that's what Jesus did for us. In 1994, Oceanside, California, the Associated Press wrote an article about this Mr. Alter, his fifth grade class at Lakeside Elementary School. And it just so happened to be that this young man, Ira Morgan, had cancer. And so that through his chemo and everything, you know what usually happens, you lose your hair. So he decided to go ahead and have his head shaved so that it wouldn't fall out in big clumps and everything, and then he would be embarrassed about that. Well, one of his friends, Kyle, decided that being a friend of his, he went around to the other boys in the same class, and he said, let's shave our heads. Let's be just like Ira, so that when people sees us all together, they won't know which one is taking the chemo, who is really sick. And Ira was the one that was sick. And it made such an impression on everyone that think that these boys would be willing to shave their head. And even the teacher, Mr. Alter, it made such an impact on him, he himself shaved his head so that he would fit in with the rest of the group. And when Sean, Ira's father, got word of this and saw all of this, and they were together one day, he was just at all thinking that everyone would do this. But you see, they considered themselves friends, and they would do anything to help Ira not to be embarrassed about his situation, and they really felt for him as well. The cross is a symbol of life. You know, in God's friendship, we have life. In verse 16, again, it says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go bear fruit. Verse 16 goes on to say, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my Father's name, I will give it to you. You notice what Jesus said here? You didn't choose me, I chose you to be my friend. And by being chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, it comes with a great awesome responsibility. Jesus said, you know, I've instructed you, I've told you everything that the Father has willed for me to do, and I'm going to the cross, and I'm going to die for the sins of the world, and therefore, as you watch me, and I demonstrate the love for you and call you my friends, you too are going to go out, and you're going to be friends to those that don't know me, those who might even reject you and so forth. But he says, you are going to be my friends, and you're going to make friends, and that's why I have chosen you, because I know that you will follow through. Now, in TV news program 2020 once gave a segment on baby chicks that was packaged and marketed. And these tiny chicks traveled on a conveyor belt, past workers who selected them to fit into a box to be shipped out and sold. The chicks were chosen by sex, size, general appearance, but some were not chosen. The cameras followed these baby chicks as far as they down the line they went, and some of them slipped by the workers, and they ended up falling off of the belt at the end of the conveyor, and they died. The way of the workers, and see, this is the way of the world today. Some are not chosen. It's because we don't choose the Heavenly Father. See, if you don't fit in the box, you are rejected and left to die according to the world. See, the cross declares that this is not the way that God deals with us. See, God doesn't choose us because that we fit into a particular box. He chooses us because he says, I love you. That's why he has chosen us. In First John chapter 4, verse 10 says, this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and he sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. See, in choosing us, God chose to forgive us and give us life. See, that's why the resurrection naturally follows the crucifixion. God could have said, we will wait till the end of time to raise Jesus from the dead. But he didn't. He didn't wait till the end. He raised Jesus the third day. The third thing about the cross, which is a symbol of what Jesus desires for us, in John chapter 15, verse 12, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. In verse 17, my commandment is this, and Jesus repeated it a second time, love one another as I have loved you. And in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 through 18, repeats this for us, where it says, where John says, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, that we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and beholds his brother in need and chooses his heart against him, or closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? And then he says in verse 17, little children, let not love with the word and with tongue in deed and truth. You see, Jesus gives us a strong affirmation here in John 13:35, says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love me. Going back to John 3:16, for God so loved. Why did he love us? Because we were in need. We're in need of God's great love. If God didn't love us the way he loved us, we would be lost forever. And as we look into the pre-seasons of Easter and all of the things that that brings us up to the point of celebrating Easter is remembering that it all started from the very beginning of the foundations of the world, where God made this world out of nothing, and he placed man right in the middle of it so that we could love him and serve him and reach people for God's kingdom. Now, when we look at how God really decided to use us as his, a part of his kingdom, that's why the command is repeated often, because the cross symbolizes the highest form of friendship. And that's why Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. See, nothing else can impress God nearly as much as that, if we're willing to take up our cross and follow him. You see, our cross is a lot lighter, isn't it? I mean, it's not as easy of bearing up under the world, the load within the world, but think about the cross that Jesus had to bear for us, the sins of the world. How many of us can just bear our own sin? Can we? How can we bear up under our own sin in the world? And Jesus took on the sins of the world. And you see, it wasn't the nails that killed Jesus or the spear in his side. It wasn't any of that. But it was the sins of the world. Every, whether you want to call it a small sin or a large sin. And that's why that God, we have already won the victory, because Jesus was nailed to the cross and our sins were nailed, or the ones that nailed Jesus to the cross. In 1969, Supreme Court Justice Hugo Black celebrated his 83rd birthday, and his colleague and his opponent and good friend John Marshall Harlan sent him a birthday letter. A seamless gesture of a man to write a letter to another one wishing him a happy birthday. But one thing about Mr. Harlan was he was almost completely blind. But he thought so much of his friendship with Hugo Black that he had a set of heavy or real bright lights mounted above his desk, and he had a super high magnifying glass that he would have to put up next to his eye and then on to the piece of paper that he would be writing. And he sat down and he wrote a letter to Hugo Black, wishing him a happy birthday and telling him about their friendship that they had throughout life, even though he was an opponent to him, but he was a deep, dear friend. It took him a while to write this letter because he could just barely see. He wrote a whole page to Hugo Black, signifying his friendship and helping him celebrate his 83rd birthday. At the end, he read the letter very carefully, making sure he didn't make any mistakes and everything was clear as best as he could comprehend and understand and see. He took the letter, he folded it up, he put it in his pocket, and then momentarily he turned his back to his clerk, and he said when he turned back around, tears were just flowing down his face. Hugo Justice Black said that he wrote that himself. He said, I wrote this myself. And then he said, no act we can do can impress others as much as sacrifice. You see, no other kind of act will bring others to the cross who sacrificed for us, and that's Jesus Christ. You see, you and I have a choice. Jesus made the first choice to love and to die for us, to invite us to live with Him forever. See, we got to make the next choice, to accept or reject His offer. So unless He chose us, we would have no choice to make at all. He made the first choice. We had to make the next choice to accept or reject. And many of us here today have already made that choice, haven't we? To accept Him as Savior. And that's why we can be called His friends, because we are one of His disciples. As He said, I chose you, you didn't choose me. So during this pre-Easter season, as we think about the cross and Christ being our friend, what a greater friend, that He'd be willing to lay down His life for us. See, that's the message. That's the message of Easter, that He loved us so much that He was willing to lay down His life for us. See, when we think about Christmas, when we think about the cross, that is the reason we serve the Lord, because He gave of Himself. You know, He provides everything else that we need in this life. He provides, you know, us a place to work, a place to live, food, the clothes we wear, the transportation, a place to come like this to worship. And so it is our responsibility, you know, as Jesus says, I call you my disciples. And He said, don't worry about anything else. Just worry about the kingdom of God. See, we get wrapped up so much in the things of the world and our needs being met and everything. But Jesus said, you know, I'm going to take care of you. Don't worry about those things. Don't worry about your wants. Your needs will be met. And if we would just think about the precious blood of Jesus Christ that shed His blood for us on the cross and was willing to die and go to the cross for our sins, then life would be a lot more simpler, wouldn't it? It wouldn't be as complicated as we make it. It would be a lot more simpler, because He's got our back, because we are His friends. May we pray. Father God, we thank You this morning for the love that You demonstrated upon the cross. Lord, we thank You that we can call You friends because You called us friends. But we can go much greater than that. We can call You our Lord and our Savior. And Lord, we pray this morning, if there's anyone here that doesn't know You as their true friend, their Savior and Lord, I pray that, Lord, this morning, through the power of Your Holy Spirit, through the moving of Your Spirit, illuminating our hearts, each one of our hearts, whatever the decision that we need to make, we be willing to do that right now in this service. Lord, we just thank You for Your great love. We thank You for all that You do. Thank You for giving Your life. And Lord, giving us eternal life one of these days with You. Lord, we praise You and we thank You in Your Son's precious name. Amen. Our hymn of invitation.